Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth, and this is brought to you by the Tucson Institute of Catholic Apologetics. Blessed and honored to have best-selling author Tony Agnese on the program today. Tony, how are you doing today?
William, it's great to be with you. It's my pleasure. Have a great day. It's a wonderful day here in Ohio. It's cool. It's in the 60s. How could it be better?
I am jealous. Yesterday we had a cooling trend and it was 103. And you know, when I have four young children, 11, 8, and 6-year-old twins, and I was saying, you know, let's go to the park. But this is, I guess, you know, it's just way too hot. So we have to go late in the day.
indoor fun.
Oh, my wife and I we're constantly trying to get them to do something indoors, but thankfully they're into arts and crafts, so that works out really well for us. Mm-hmm. But thanks for coming on today. Been following you for a while on Facebook, LinkedIn. Love what you're doing. Very inspirational things. So I know we only have a short time today because the show's fairly short, but you came out with a new book recently, and the Storyteller series. Can you tell us about the Storyteller series?
William, I've always been a storyteller. I've been a storyteller all my life. My career, I've been 53 years in the broadcast industry, and I've done it telling stories. My grandmother was a storyteller. My mom was a storyteller. And I've never really been much into writing. When I went into college, my first English paper came back with more red ink than black ink and a big F at the top. And the professor said, you'll never write above a fifth grade level. And so that kind of stilted any writing I did. But I've had these stories for years, and people keep saying to me, you need to write these down. You need to put them in a book. And so in 2012, I started doing that. I wrote about a half dozen stories. I gave them to a retired college professor friend of mine, and I said, would you mind reading these? And she said, sure. And she read them. And I said, what'd you think? She says, oh, Tony, these are wonderful stories. And I said, no, what's really important is what level do I write at? And she said, about sixth grade. So in 40 years, William, I'm up a grade. So that's how the Storyteller series started. And the first book, A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, talks about the grace we get from family, grace we get at the holidays, and so forth. The books are simple books. They're 750-word stories. They're all tied to a little bit of scripture. And then I ask some reflection questions at the end. A lot of men's groups are using, and women's groups, again, are using the book as kind of a conversation starter. I had one guy tell me, it's a great bathroom book. You know, you read one story per trip. And that's okay, however you want to read it, either straight through or one story per trip. People use it in the morning with their morning prayer. They read one story in the evening before they go to bed. And the second book is A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service. And it's about how serving others brings joy to our lives. And we have to separate sometimes happiness from joy. You know, I'm happy when the Browns win. I'm not happy when they lose, and so forth. But joy is something that comes from our Lord, and it comes from serving others. And so that's what that book is about. And then the third book really came as a result of an accident. I had lost a bunch of stories. They just disappeared, couldn't find them. And about 3-4 months ago, we found them on a hard drive and were able to get them back. And I kind of penned them the lost stories. And we decided that that rather than, you know, rewriting and writing around, we would simply put those in a volume two of the first book and kind of complete that set of writing I did between 2012 and 2016. So that's how they came about. I was at 1.9 GPA in college. I took basket weaving and two gym classes to graduate. So, you know, I'm not the brightest guy. I don't have the degrees. I just love our Lord Jesus Christ, and I love to talk to anyone who will listen about our faith.
Amen. Amen to that. I know in your first book, you talked about, you know, the importance of the faith in over the course of your life. So what role does faith play in our daily lives? How has it sustained you, and how does it keep you going?
You know, that's a great question. Let me just say that what's scary in our world today are so many people are suffering. People are committing suicide. We have these mass shootings that have been taking place and so forth. And it's because people have no hope in their lives. They have nowhere to go, no well to go to. And that's faith. That's faith in God. That is what sustains us. And, you know, it gets us through the problem. And oftentimes in our lives, for me, it's faith that sustained me through cancer diagnosis and through hepatitis C and through pneumonia as a kid. It's faith that has sustained me in my relationships and my, you know, almost 48 year marriage with my wife and so forth. And so faith is a very important, plays a very important role in all of our lives. And what's scary to me, William, is that we see the numbers of church participants drop to around 20%. It's actually worse than that in many of the major cities. In the 1950s, 85% of all people went to church. This is Catholic and Protestant from the Barna studies. And now it's down around 20%. And what scares me is, what do these people have to cling to that can sustain them through tough times? Because we're all going to have tough times. You know, hard times are something we're all going to sustain. If you haven't been through hard times, wait, you will be. And it's our faith that gets us through.
Now, in your second book, I don't know if this is maybe a correlation, in the very first chapter, titled "Why Are We So Angry?"
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a correlation between this lack of a faith and hope, if you will, to this anger that maybe we see?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's really a big part of it. People are, you know, all you have to do is go on social media, and I know I see a lot of your posts on social media, and I see people post the most benign things, and in capital letters, people in angry verbiage are, you know, saying, no, Mom, apple pie and Chevrolet are not that good, you know, and it's a lack of hope, you know. Hope comes through us through our Savior, and that's kind of the message, the very simple message that I try to get through in my books.
What are some tips? Because, you know, if we live in the internet culture, I call them keyboard muscles. People get angry, they hide behind the keyboard.
Yes.
Like you said, they throw that caps lock button on and they just go off. What are some practical things that we can do as Christians in general to spread the love of Christ over the internet in that loving way?
You know, that's a great idea. And what the things I see you doing, William, are those kinds of things that do that. We need to understand that the internet can be used in a number of ways. It can be used for harm. It can be used for good. And I try to just put good, positive messages out there. You know, I do a little thing called Daily Grace, where I put a short quotation. Many of them are from my book. Some of them are just anonymous things that I've found, some things that I've run up against. And it's amazing how people, not only Christians, but people with little faith will read that, and it triggers some spark. It's positive in the sense that it makes them think about their lives. And, you know, if we can do that, if we can plant seeds through our use of the internet, and then let the Holy Spirit take it from there. And that's basically what I do. We plant seeds. You know, I've been doing jail ministry for 15 years, and you go into a jail situation, a lot of people have never even heard the name Jesus Christ. So you're talking to them about the Christ story, you know, the kerygma, and that he was born, and he lived, and he died, and he rose from the dead, and he redeems us from our sins. These are messages that once they begin to grasp, they seek out. they seek out other information. They seek out apologetics. They seek out theology. They read books and get involved. It's planting that original seed and understanding that I'm not going to do it, that all I can do is plant the seed, and then I leave it up to the Holy Spirit to take it from there.
Right, and I'm sorry to maybe back up a little bit, but before,
no, that's
the,
right.
But before the books, you had your blog, mm-hmm. and it's a very popular blog. It's been one of the top 100. How did that blog series start?
It was kind of funny. I started blogging a long time ago, and I've done a couple of different blogs. Prior to these blogs, I did a wine blog. I'm a kind of a wine, not a connoisseur by any stretch. I just love wine. And I wrote a wine blog until I was diagnosed with hepatitis C, William. And hepatitis C is usually associated with cirrhosis of the liver, intravenous drug use, alcoholism, and so forth, none of which I had, but I got it, I think, from my cancer surgery years before. And so I quit the wine blog, and I just started writing some faith stories. And very innocently, some of them were reviews of books or recommending other bloggers that I had met on the internet, and then I started doing a few on my own. And as it picked up and people started following me, we went from writing a blog or two to having over 1,000 followers the first year, wow. People that were waiting each week to receive a blog post. And then I started the podcast a few years later. It's a very short podcast. We call them snackable podcasts. It's only under 5 minutes long. It's called 5 Minutes with Tony, and it runs on my website, tonyagnese.com. And you can also get it at Breadbox Media. Breadbox Media is the Catholic podcasting site. And people liked it because, well, first of all, because it's short, you know, you get a little piece of wisdom and some thought process things going on in under 5 minutes. And we're taking that series here in the fall. We're taking that to video. So it'll be not much of a face for video, but we're taking it to video here in the fall.
That's great, because that opens up a whole new arena of people that'll, you know, listen to that content. And like you said, plant the seeds and let the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. start working. So congratulations mm-hmm. on that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, that's I really love working with people who are searching, trying to find the truth, trying to find the answers. And we as evangelists and you and I, William, in this category, we need to meet people where they're at. You know, in a jail situation, for example, one of the jail ministers that I work with, a wonderful, great guy, we're in front of a bunch of people in the jail, and he did about 15 minutes on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which was fabulous for me. But for the people in the audience, it was way over their heads for where they were at the time. And so sharing just the Jesus story sometimes, just giving them that sense that no matter what sin they've committed, that we have a God that can forgive that sin, that there's no sin that God can't forgive other than the one you don't ask forgiveness for. So I think you plant that message and it gets them thinking, and then you see them again the following week and they continue to come back and be nourished. And then you can see them pick up a Bible or pick up, one of the daily message type publications, Our Daily Bread, or, you know, those types. And then they begin to develop a faith. And once that begins to happen, oftentimes they just take it from there.
Amen. Planting those seeds. One of the things that, you know, after the seeds planted, you know, the relationship with Christ starts growing, inevitably, and you talk about this in your new book, you know, Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, you know, Volume 2, the personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how sometimes we're asked, Catholics are asked, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And sometimes, you know, they get stumped because sometimes we use different verbiage.
Oh, yeah.
Do Catholics have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Well, I know I do. You know, amen. I'm a daily Mass goer, and I am a daily recipient of the Eucharist. And what greater relationship could one have to Jesus Christ than to be with him on a daily basis and receive him body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist? And, you know, the interesting thing, people say you go to Mass every day, you must be holy. And I go, no, Mass is not a sanctuary for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And I consider myself in intensive care. You know, I need to go every day. But I'll tell you what's happened, William, as I've been a daily recipient of the Eucharist, my my day goes better. My attitude is better. I'm calmer. I react with other people differently because I have Jesus with me. And, you know, do I have a close personal relationship with Jesus? You bet I do. And I don't know that it can get much closer than that. Many Catholics who don't know their faith and have not read or studied much have a very difficult time with that question. And it's a very simple answer.
Very simple. What are some things that we can do to cultivate that relationship in a deeper way? But you mentioned going to Mass, obviously. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that we can do?
Just pray. Praying, I think, is the main thing. You know, having a prayer life. People tell me I don't have time to pray, and I say, well, if you don't have time to pray, you're too busy. You need to find some time. I pray a lot in the car as I'm driving to and from work. You know, I'm exactly one rosary from my office. A lot of times, I'm on my way to Mass, and I'm exactly one chaplet of Divine Mercy to Mass. And so I use the time in the car to pray. I did a lot of traveling. In my career when I was a consultant, and so I'd be in the car for hours. There's a great opportunity to listen to some quality music or to listen to some apologetics and to from some people a lot smarter than me and to learn. And so praying, going to Mass, and then serving others is a great thing that I think. My book, my second book, A Storyteller's Guide to Joyful Service, I was with another author, Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's on Catholic Radio, and Ray said, how's that second book doing? I go, not as good as the first. And he goes, I know why. And I said, why is that? He says, because it's about serving others. People don't want to serve others. They want to be served. And you know, there's a little bit of truth to that. I pray this little prayer every morning. If I can leave this with your audience, Lord, make me an instrument. Put somebody in my life today, somebody in my path that you can help through me. I'll be your hands, your eyes, your ears. I'll put up my antenna and I'll be open to the bumps and nudges that come from the Holy Spirit. And it's a great prayer, William. As a matter of fact, I tell people don't pray unless you mean it, because it works every single time. Somebody is always in your place. Yesterday, I made 4 phone calls. I called a guy who had just had surgery and I followed up with him. Another writer, another Catholic writer, a good friend of mine. I talked with him a while yesterday. Called my son in Florida about the storm. Just small little gestures like that. We're not talking about major miraculous things. Small, predictable miracles can happen in your life every single day if you open yourself up to God's grace and you say, Lord, use me as you will today.
Amen. Tony, thank you for spending this time with us. Where can my listeners find out more about you, more about your ministry?
Oh, geez, they can go to my website. It's tonyagnesi.com, TonyAgnesi.com. You go there, you can, there's my radio shows are there. There's the last 10 shows, the last 10 podcasts. We're redesigning the site a little bit, but you can see some of my talks on there. All of my blogs are there, all of my podcasts, 5 Minutes with Tony and the Finding God's Grace, they're all available. And, you know, you can go there and spend some time with it. There's nothing that you have to pay to do. And my books are available there as well. Because we've been with you here today, if they use a promo code FRIENDS with any of my books, we'll give them a 20% discount and I'll personally sign each book and we'll ship them for free. So the fantastic promo code FRIENDS.
Fantastic. The website, tonyagnesi.com, use that promo code FRIENDS. You know, you get any of Tony's books. You're going to be really blessed by them. I know I was. Tony, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you finally. I know we've followed each other quite a while, and it's really a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure to be on with you, William. And what I'd love to do is reciprocate and get you on the Storytellers as well. I would love to have you as a guest on the show.
Oh, would love to. Yeah, thank you very much, Tony.
You've got it. God bless you.
God bless you.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.